This call is now being recorded.
Greetings, I'm Bill Klatke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Susan Krehbill, who is the Social Justice Consultant for the Presbytery of Baltimore. And Susan is here today to talk to us about the various things that the Presbytery is doing to advance social justice in our area. So, Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it. I know you're busy, which is good. And first of all, though, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us a little bit about the Presbytery of Baltimore?
Sure. The Presbytery of Baltimore is a regional office for Presbyterian churches in the Presbyterian Church USA.
Mm-hmm.
So we go all the way from Western Maryland to the Central Maryland and down to Annapolis. If you know other faith communities, you might think of things like a diocese, for example. It's the regional collection of Presbyterian churches in this area. And the majority of them are located in Baltimore City or in the counties right around it.
Mm-hmm. What's your relationship to the individual churches?
So the Presbyterian Church is not as hierarchical as some, and so most of the way it's organized is through elections. And actually the word presbyter, which we get our name from, is about being a representative. And so people are elected from their local congregations. Pastors are automatically members of the presbytery, and then other leaders are elected to come together, and they form the kind of governing body. And we have then staff who are hired or elected by that governing body.
Okay, great. And I know the mission is to advance Presbyterianism in the area.
Yeah, so our presbytery goes back to the late 1600s. That's when the first Presbyterians started arriving. And the role of the presbytery is to support those individual congregations in their formation, in their leadership development, and in helping them to advance their faith out in the world. Our current mission talks about being apostles for reconciliation, which is a big part of my work at the presbytery. And then other staff work on things like leadership development of the pastors and other congregational members.
Uh-huh. Great. Thank you. How can someone find out more information?
So you can find out a lot about the Presbytery through our website, which is baltimorepresbytery.org.
Uh-huh.
And that gives you information about churches in the area, as well as all the different ways that we are organized to carry out our mission.
Great. And telephone?
Telephone is 410-433-2012.
Great. Thank you. As social justice consultant, that means that you're in charge of social justice, right?
Well, that's why the word consultant is so important. So, as I was saying before, we're really directed by the congregations themselves. And so my role really is to help support and facilitate what's going on in the congregations and how congregations can work together. So my job has evolved a lot over the years, depending upon kind of what are the issues that are close to our church members' hearts and where they're interested in coming together.
Uh-huh. How long have you been with the Presbytery?
I've been at the Presbytery since the fall of 2012, can you believe
it? Wow, so it'll be almost 9 years.
Almost 9 years, yes. I'm now one of the longest serving staff. I've always been part-time here, working as well for our national church office.
Ah, so you're bringing the perspective.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that helps a lot with my work on the social justice because a lot of the educational materials, a lot of the discussions around what our faith teaches us about social justice issues, in other words, what's happening out there in the real world, take place as conversations at the national level. And then national offices are often responsible for providing resources to congregations. So a good bit of my work through the years has been helping congregations know what's available to them so they don't have to start from scratch if they want to learn about a particular issue or they want to know how to act at the national or state level.
Right. So you're really empowering them.
Yes, I like to think of that. Our mandate is to challenge and equip. So that's a good way of talking about that.
Great. You mentioned you've seen, of course, in eight, almost 9 years, you've seen different emphases over the years. What is the current trend toward in terms of activism, both nationally and locally?
Well, I don't think it would be any surprise to you that a big focus of my work in more recent years has been around racism. And in fact, the primary focus of my work in the last 3 years has been supporting a task force that was formed that we call the Dismantling Racism Team, that it was part of passing a policy at the Presbytery to require dismantling racism training of our pastors and other key leaders within the Presbytery, as well as the staff.
Great, great. And how's that going? How's been the reception?
You know, it actually was going really well. The COVID certainly impacted our ability to do some of that. But what started out when we started it back in 2018, it was certainly something that was of concern to people in the Presbytery, something that they wanted to do more about. But the events of the last 2 years have accelerated that interest. And so we not only have that training that's the responsibility of the Presbytery, but we have congregations that have become much more involved, not only in their own education, but actually trying to be agents for positive change in their surrounding community.
That's great. Let's talk about what those congregations are doing. Could you give us some samples?
Sure. One example is a church in Roland Park, where there was an incident on the sidewalk out in front of the church between some students at one of the schools and neighbors in Roland Park. And because their congregation had been having these kinds of conversations about how to dismantle racism, and what's their role as people of faith, they reached out to the principal at the school, they reached out to others, and started a whole process of conversations, as well as just some public witnessing in the community. Other congregations have started conversations around how they invest their mission giving, how they spend their money in the community, and whether that's actually helping to make for positive change or whether that's reinforcing old systems and old assumptions.
So possibly then they're switching money and some of the emphasis of the volunteers.
Yes.
Great.
And looking at questions like who's making the decisions about how the money is spent, right? And certainly in our churches, there's also a disparity in the history of how our churches were even built and where that money came from. Another congregation in Federal Hill, Light Street Presbyterian Church, has spent a good bit of the last year doing historical research to try to understand more of the history about the forming of their congregation, whether their congregation historically had taken any stance about slavery, whether it had been you know, what was its relationship to African Americans historically, things like that, so that that can inform their decisions as they go forward.
And I guess one of your roles is to share that information with other congregations that are that might be thinking of doing that?
Right. So a lot of my work entails helping share that information, but also just even helping that networking. So if another congregation says, wow, we're struggling with how to do this work, who else has done it? I often find that people learn really well from peers. So it's not so much about me being the imparter of all the knowledge, right, in charge of social justice, as you said, but often helping people to learn from somebody else who's doing similar work.
Yeah, amen. I mean, sometimes it is smarter to just keep quiet and let somebody else talk, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I've learned through the years, I've spent 30 years working on some aspect of social justice, mostly around refugees and immigration. That's my original background.
Mm.
And so I find when you're in a place like a regional office or a national office, you know, you develop a good appreciation for the larger landscape.
Yeah.
And you get a better sense of trends and those kinds of things. But often when people really roll up their sleeves and start doing something, they need somebody that's closer to the ground.
All of the fine words and great sentiments have to be finally translated into doing something, or they're just words.
That's right.
Yeah. I guess one of the things that is your job is to help people face challenges, right?
Yes, and I think one of the biggest challenges is the environment that we have as a country in terms of talking about difficult issues.
Yeah.
I think the polarization that's gone on in our communities, which is not new, but it's certainly gotten more stark in recent years, makes it more challenging for people to want to enter into these conversations. And we know, you know, you can't find solutions if you're not willing to talk about the reality of what's going on. And so that means being willing to enter into sometimes difficult conversations with people that you may know or just believe are going to have a different opinion than you. Social justice is actually very deeply embedded in the history of the Presbyterian Church as part of our faith teachings. But that doesn't mean there still aren't people who would just as soon stick to, you know, singing hymns and thinking of other things that unite us and not talking about issues that might be difficult.
Yeah, including some national leaders, unfortunately. See, we're quickly running out of time, Susan. Can our listeners do to learn more about what their congregation can do for social justice?
So I think it's really important for people to be willing to have these conversations with their friends, with their congregations. You don't have to invent the wheel here. There are resources everywhere. We have resources on our webpage. Pretty much every faith community, there are resources to help people hold these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
We need to speak up for the kind of community and the kind of society that we want to see and that we want to live in, and in my case, that I believe God is calling us to live in. That's really, I think, important. I remember being down at the state for a workshop where we had a state senator saying years ago, you know, I hear from people in business all the time, and it's not bad that they come and talk to me, but I need people who also are going to share their perspectives just because they care, because of who they are, because of their faith,
right,
because of their lived experience. We need to hear those voices.
Yeah, that's a good thing for folks to remember from this show, that you have to get involved if you want things to get any better.
That's right.
You got to get involved. Unfortunately, though, Susan, we're about out of time. Could you give us that contact information one more time, please?
Sure. You can find information at the Presbytery of Baltimore by going to our website, baltimorepresbytery.org. You can call our office, 410-433-2012, and ask to speak to me or leave a message. Or send us an email, office@baltimorepresbytery.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Susan.
Remember, if you need training in fair housing, call the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights at 410-767-8600, Español Marca El Dos, or 1-800-637-6247, or go to mccr.maryland.gov on the net. or call me at 410-929-7640.
Unfortunately, though, that's all the time we have today. I want to thank our guest, Susan Craybill, who's a social justice consultant for the Presbyteria of Baltimore, for being our guest today. Keep up your good work.
Thank you, Bill.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.